What's up, everyone? Welcome on in to the Early Edge right here on CBS Sports Network. Of course, we are brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. My name is Sia Najat, and we've got a very comprehensive college football wins total show for you. Let's go ahead and bring in the stars of the show as we are going to cover the SEC, the Big 12, the ACC, all the conferences, by the way, as I left out the Big 10 for some reason, plus the powers, the group of six. We've got Tom Casale, Mike McClure, Emery Hunt. Gentlemen, we're going to start with the SEC. And I want to start with a couple of teams that we consider to be at the top. It's Georgia and Texas. We see the odds. The shortest odds are Georgia and Texas over at BetMGM, plus 300 each way. Then followed by LSU, Alabama, Texas A&M, and then Ole Miss at 10 to 1 all the way down. Emery, will it be Georgia versus Texas in the SEC championship?
It'll be Georgia versus insert one of these three or four teams here. You could have Texas. You could have Ole Miss. You could have Oklahoma. You could have Texas A&M. And one of the major reasons why I like Oklahoma, you have John Mateer back healthy at 100%, ready to go. Marcel Reed at Texas A&M, they just reload. They don't rebuild. And Ole Miss has, I think, the best quarterback in the SEC in Trinidad Chambliss. And we saw what he did last year in that magical run for the Rebels. So I think it will be Georgia because they're battle-tested. I trust Kirby Smart more than anybody. But everywhere else is definitely wide open.
All right, so Tom, Emery trusts Georgia. What do you think? Georgia, Texas in the SEC championship?
Yeah, you know, I think they should be the favorites entering the season. But if you ask me if that's going to be the game, I'll lean no, only because of what Emery said. The depth in this league this year, I think, is back to where it used to be. There's going to be a lot of close games. You're looking at Ole Miss, LSU, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Alabama's still in there. I just think there's going to be so many tight games. It's who's going to win those games in the fourth quarter. So if you're asking me 3 or 4 months ahead of time, are those going to be the two teams? I'll say one of them makes it. And I really like Oklahoma. I think what Emery said about the Sooners, keep an eye. If Mateer stays healthy with that defense, I think they're a sneaky pick to get in that SEC championship game.
All right, Mike, a lot of fanfare for Georgia here. Do you share that opinion? What do you think about the SEC championship?
Yeah, look, I agree with both of the guys here and kind of split on it. I will say it should be the matchup on paper. I feel very good about Georgia making it. I do think that there's maybe four other teams, though, that could ultimately represent the other side other than Texas. As far as Georgia, though, I feel great with them making it. When you look at what they're returning, what Kirby Smart has done with a very large sample size now at this point, and then the schedule. They catch Oklahoma at home. They avoid Texas, Texas A&M, and LSU, about as friendly as a schedule can get in the SEC right now. So I feel good about Georgia being in that game, but I do think the other side's going to be a little bit more wide open than the odds might suggest.
Gentlemen, I promised everyone win total overs and unders for the balance of the show. So, Mike, we're going to start with your favorite win total over in the SEC. As we see the notable SEC win totals, again, not surprising, Georgia and Texas at the top with 9.5. But, Mike, we go down to Ole Miss at 7.5, and that's where you like your over.
Yeah, give me Ole Miss over 7.5. Give me it over 8.5 at plus 120 or better as well. As guys mentioned already, I think Ole Miss is an interesting case, obviously, when you lose a head coach, but you retain who I think is the best quarterback in the SEC, just like Emery, and some of the returning and the way the schedule starts. That is what I think is significant here. Yes, you get that matchup with LSU. It's highly anticipated. It is a home game, and I like the fact that it's early and doesn't give LSU a ton of time to really get on the same page with everyone there. I just think that this is a 9-win team at 7.5. I know it's a little juicy. Would play it, though. I love the fact that the more difficult games come at the end of the season here. I think they start hot, and I think that Chambliss is phenomenal once again. Give me the over for Ole Miss.
Cannot wait to watch Trinidad Chambliss this upcoming year. And again, we're on the doorstep of it, just days away. Emery, when we looked at that graphic for win totals, there was a team kind of further down the board at 4.5. Talk to me.
Yeah, I like Mississippi State over 4.5 wins. And the common theme we've talked about so far in terms of the SEC and who we like to be in the conference championship game, 9 times out of 10 has to do with quarterback play. And I feel like Kamario Taylor will be one of these stars that we're going to be talking about as the season continues to roll along. Because, man, just the glimpses of what we saw from him last year in the bowl game and when he was inserted throughout the course of the season, Jeff Lebby has himself a fantastic quarterback. He's going to be a superstar for Mississippi State. I think that's bigly part of the reason why I like them to go over 4.5 wins.
All right, Tom, another team that, you know, we're not talking about to be in the SEC championship, for example, 6.5 win total, South Carolina.
Yeah, the Gamecocks were, kind of a sexy, trendy pick to make the college football playoff last year. But the problem is they hired Mike Shula to help run the offense. And as I told you last season, Sia, he has the imagination of a tree stump. So I expect this offense to be a lot better with Kendall Briles. Look for Lenoris Sellers to be a different quarterback this season. And look at the schedule. It's pretty favorable by SEC standards. I think they can start the year 4-1. They missed Texas, LSU, and Ole Miss. And they lost some games last year they really should have won against Texas A&M, against Alabama. So I think South Carolina has enough talent. And when you add in the schedule, they can get to 7 or 8 wins this season.
If you're wondering if he actually said imagination of a tree stump, he literally said that word for word last year. And I about laughed out loud because I had never heard that metaphor before. Tom, let's go to SEC win total unders. You and Mike McClure agree here. Talk to me about the Vols.
You know, Tennessee has a lot of returning production on the defensive side, so I do expect them to be really competitive this year. My issues with the quarterback position. They swung and missed on some transfer quarterbacks, so now they're entering the season with very little experience behind center. And when you look at how deep the SEC is this year, I think that's going to be a problem, especially like we mentioned in those close games in the second half, late in those games. I think they're going to be at a disadvantage. Now, they do get Texas and LSU at home. I think they're probably going to need to win one of those games to get to 8 wins. I think they fall more around 7 wins this year. I'll go under 7.5.
Mike, you like this one as well. Anything to add to Tom's analysis?
Yeah, look, I think that Tennessee's interesting because I think they're clearly a step behind everywhere in the SEC in terms of being in that top tier, right? And I think that they'll be competitive in a number of games this year, but I ultimately think they come up short in a lot of those games. I don't necessarily love the schedule for them. I know Tom mentioned catching a couple of those big games at home. While that certainly helps, I think it just helps make the game itself more competitive. And I think that they're going to struggle. I get that they're returning some on defense. The struggle for me is the offensive side of the ball, as Tom mentioned, at the quarterback position. Josh Heupel and the offense that he runs, when you get it right, it's great. I just think it's very difficult to get it right, and I'm not sure they have the personnel to really pull it off the way he wants to execute that offense, and I just think there could be some growing pains. I actually wonder how long the Heupel era continues to last at Tennessee here. I think that 8 is a stretch. I think this team might actually only win 5 to 6 games this year.
That's 2 votes for Tennessee under 7.5, Emery, and 1 vote for
the Auburn Tigers going under 6.5. And my biggest thing with Auburn, again, Golish is a very good coach. He brought in Byron Brown with him from South Florida. But at the end of the day, where are the playmakers? And when you think about Byron Brown, he's more of the aggressive physical runner. But I can't get past that Y-Iota arm angle that he throws it, right? He digs deep to come up low, big looping arm angle in the passing game. And when you lose your best playmaker to Texas, it doesn't help you offensively. So I need to see who are the playmakers going to be for Auburn. But at the end of the day, I think they'll do just fine. 6 might actually be the best number. But when you talk about the SEC and all the playmakers we talked about all throughout the segment, I can't see Auburn going over that total.
Let's close out the SEC discussion. Again, we're going to be moving on to the other conferences in just a second. But, Mike, let's close it out with a Lane Kiffin theme. I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot about Lane Kiffin, obviously the new coach of LSU. They're plus 155 to make the playoff. The old coach of Ole Miss, plus 175 to make the college football playoff. Mike, I suspect, based on your analysis of Ole Miss, that between those two, you like Ole Miss's number better.
Yeah, look, I like Ole Miss's number better at this point. I just think that LSU should be about the same, maybe plus 190 to plus 200 range. I think that they have a difficult task to start the season. I know Lane Kiffin is phenomenal. I know they obviously can recruit and have a ton of fantastic athletes. I think the schedule is not so friendly to start, though, when you talk about A&M and Ole Miss early and then a little bit of a difficult stretch late as well. I just think that they might underperform expectation just a little bit in year one. I think they'll be right there in year two. So if I had to pick between the two, it would be Ole Miss with the best quarterback in the SEC.
Emery, you agree?
definitely. Trinidad Chambliss did something that we hadn't seen done at Ole Miss in quite some time. He made them super relevant and playoff worthy. And Lane Kiffin left when things were just starting to get hot. So I feel like when you have a guy that has championship pedigree in Chambliss already at the Division II level, improved his wares in the biggest of games, they were a few plays away from going to the national championship game themselves. So I feel like that's going to be the best bet out of the two, because like Mike said, LSU, who are the pass rushers? Where are the playmakers on the defensive line? I think that's a wait-and-see approach, so that's why next year may be a better bet.
Tom, what say you on LSU and Ole Miss at these numbers to make the college football playoff?
Yeah, I have both teams just outside to start the season, but I agree with the guys. When you're betting in August, you're not just betting teams, you're betting numbers. And I think Mike hit it on the head when he said LSU is just overvalued because of Lane Kiffin. I think Ole Miss is about where they should be. I do worry about their defense a little bit, but they do have the best quarterback in that conference. So if I had to pick one, I'd pick Ole Miss, but I think both of them are going to be right there. Again, I agree with Mike. I think next year, watch out for LSU.
All right, gentlemen, sit tight as we transition to the Big Ten. But before we do that, I want to remind everybody, we're going to have a lot of college football picks and articles and models and DFS plays and you name it. And you can find it all at Sportsline, sportsline.com/join. And once you're there, make sure you join the Discord, which, of course, is free to Sportsline members, discord.gg/sportsline. Coming up next on the Early Edge College Football Win Totals Show, we go to the Big Ten. How's Ohio State going to do? Indiana? A lot more coming up on the Early Edge. We're back on the Early Edge, and it's time to transition to Big Ten play. We're going to talk win totals in a second, but let's take a look at the odds to win the Big Ten, courtesy of BetMGM. Again, Tom Casale, Mike McClure, Emery Hunt joining us. Shortest odds to win the Big Ten starts with Ohio State. No surprise there, really, at +180, but Indiana, I suppose you could think, coming off their championship, they could be at the top. They're +250, followed by Oregon at +280, and a pretty big drop off from there down to Michigan at 10-1, UFC from there, and then Penn State. Let's bring in the guys here to talk about it. Is it Ohio State and Indiana on a crash course for the Big Ten championship, Tom Casale?
I like Oregon. I think it's crazy that they're +280 to win the Big Ten. They're my top rated team heading into the season. I think they have the best roster. They have the deepest roster. And Dante Moore coming back, I thought was one of the best decisions in recent memory for any player, because to me, he's the X factor in all of college football this season. Does he take that next step in big games against better defenses? I think he does. I think this team is loaded. Even if they lose to Ohio State, I think they're going to make the Big Ten championship game and win the conference. I love the Ducks this season.
Yeah, I like Dante Moore as well. I will say he did tail off at the end of last season, but Tom, to your point, that's why you come back and get more reps in college. Mike, you also like Oregon.
Yeah, look, I thought Tom said it perfectly. The decision to return for Moore, I think just really great for him individually. Awesome for Oregon as well. I love them. I think that they are challenging for the best team in the conference and certainly one of the best teams overall in college football. I really like the setup, though, too. You talk about that matchup with Ohio State. That doesn't come till November. You've got a lot of time to have them continue to take that leap forward. I think that's exactly what happens. So I don't know that it's necessarily just a foregone conclusion that it's Indiana and Ohio State here. I think Oregon should be much closer to a co-favorite.
Emery, you like Oregon as well. Talk to me about that, and talk to me about who you think they're going to face in the championship game.
Yeah, I like Oregon and Indiana. I mean, when you look at Oregon juxtaposed to Ohio State, they're built very similarly in terms of their receiving core, what they bring to the table along the offensive line, how they match up well defensively. The X factor is, who do you trust more, Dante Moore or Julian Sain? And I can't get past what I saw from Julian Sain in the postseason. He looked like a deer in headlights. So that eliminates them when they play head-to-head. And Indiana, until I see Indiana lose a game, I can't go against Kursik. That ain't what he's done. I think this not only looks better for them this season, because their schedule is actually more favorable this year than the gauntlet when they went 16-0. So I just feel like Indiana now has the momentum. I'm a big fan of Josh Hoover. So I just like those two teams steamrolling toward the Big Ten championship game.
Let's go to favorite Big Ten win total overs. And Mike, I don't know that we've given Ohio State enough of their due. Talk to me about their win total, which is standing at 9.5.
Yeah, look, I think that, look, Oregon, we're giving them a lot of flowers. I think they absolutely deserve it. And you see Indiana at the top. I mean, it makes sense. They were absolutely dominant in college football last year. I like this Ohio State team, though. I really think that they take a big step forward. I know that Julian Sand did not look great, much like Dante Moore, frankly, down the stretch. I think that Julian Sand takes a big step forward individually. We know that this team just kind of reloads. You talk about losing talent. I don't think losing talent matters much really ever at Ohio State, just the way that they're able to seemingly always reload. But I like to remember the fact that the kid is now 21. Between 20 and 21, you're still dealing with very young, inexperienced athletes overall. I think that an additional year for a guy like Sand really allows this team to take a step forward offensively. And I think that they're obviously hungry the way things went down last year. That's what I want. I want the little bit of an underdog mentality here. So give me Ohio State over.
Emery, a lot of eyes on UCLA this year. They're further down the board from a win total standpoint, 6.5.
Yeah, I like them going over that number. Listen, you talk about Kurt Cignetti. I have full trust in him. Man, I have full trust in Bob Chesney. He has done it at the Division III level at Salve Regina. He has done it at Division II Assumption. He's done it at the FCS level at Holy Cross. Just did it last year at the G5 level with James Madison, gotten those guys to the postseason. And this one is set up a little bit better than James Madison because he has a good quarterback already in tow in Nico Iamaleava, who played better down the stretch, actually played solid football down the stretch. And he brings in a lot of those guys from JMU over to UCLA, implementing that winning culture. So I just feel like UCLA is one of those sleeper teams in the Big Ten that no one's talking about. But, man, you got to trust in Bob Chesney, trust in Nico getting it together in his junior season, and trust the Bruins will definitely go over 6.5.
A shout out to JMU, where I went to undergrad, by the way. I mean, Indiana, Kurt Cignetti goes, takes a bunch of JMU players, and now we've got UCLA doing the same thing. A talent pool there for sure. Tom, talk to me about Nebraska.
I wrote a win total article for Sportsline that'll be up later today. And in it, I said, you know, I just saw this tremendous documentary about the old Tom Osborne Nebraska teams. Now, maybe that's impacting my decision here, but I like the Huskers to go over 6.5 wins this season. When you look at that schedule, they're going to be favored to start 5-0. They only play one road game until October 17th, and that's at Michigan State, you know, which is a winnable game. I think this is Matt Rhule's most talented team on both sides of the ball. I think Anthony Calandrio will be an upgrade at quarterback over Dylan Raiola. So if Nebraska can take care of business early in the season, I think that sets up nicely for them to get to 7 wins this year.
Those old school Nebraska teams would just run all over you. You knew what was coming and they'd be successful at it. Anyway, let's go to Big Ten win total unders. Let's start with you, Tom. Talk to me about Michigan.
And this one's a lot about the schedule. You know, I think Kyle Whittingham is a great long-term coach for Michigan after everything that happened with him. I think he's going to be successful there, has talent, defense is going to be good. But man, Oklahoma, Penn State, Indiana, Oregon, Ohio State, Iowa. I mean, no matter what ranking system you're using, those are all top 20 defenses entering the year. Now, does Bryce Underwood develop and take the next step as a passer? Because he's going to have to against that tough schedule. You know, I have to see more out of him. 8 wins feels like the ceiling in Winningham's first year, so I'll go under 8.5 with the Wolverines.
Emery, this feels like one of my favorite plays as well that I might just run to BetMGM and take right after this show or during the commercial break. You agree?
Yeah, totally. I'm right there with Tom, man. And it's a lot of it is based on what Bryce Underwood will be this season. I like the toughness that he showed in some of those tight games, i.e. the Oklahoma game last year, but you want to see more progression forward in the passing game. Once teams realized they weren't a threat throwing the football vertically down the field, they just put a nice curtain around that run game and shut Michigan down. So we know the execution and the point of attack play will be high under, you know, Coach Whittingham, but man, I want to see the passing game come to the party, and then we'll start to see this Michigan team look like those Utah teams early in his tenure.
Mike, you're giving Kurt Cignetti some bulletin board material here. Carry on.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I'll go under. I'll kind of pay to find out again on Indiana. Fantastic season last year. Difficult conference that they play in. Not the most difficult schedule necessarily, but they did lose a lot. I think they lost a ton to the NFL draft in very, very key positions, really on both sides of the ball. And while teams can reload, and obviously Kurt Cignetti's had a ton of success really at every stop that he's made throughout his career, I think it's difficult at this level in this conference at a school like Indiana right now to reload immediately. I think that they can and will be a staying power near the top for some years to come under Kurt Cignetti, but I do think it's a difficult spot. Every game now you have a massive target on your back. I love the Ohio State Buckeyes against them this year in that head-to-head matchup. I'm going to go under 10.5 wins. Frankly, a 10-win season is still obviously a very good season in college football and could put them in contention for postseason success still. I will go under 10.5 on this win total.
Emery, it's been the Big Ten winning the chip the last three seasons, three different Big Ten teams, mind you. I'm curious, and I'll go around the horn here. I'll start with you, Emery. How many Big Ten teams actually make the college football playoff this year?
Three, and I will sprinkle some on four because I have a lot invested in UCLA getting to that point too as a surprise team, but I would say three. We talked about them all this segment. Oregon, Indiana, Ohio State, those are clear and above the best three teams in this conference. And I think those are the three that will represent the conference in the postseason.
All right, Mike, what do you think? Three or four?
Yeah, I'll go three. There's certainly paths where four can happen. I think some of it depends a little more on other conferences. But I do think it's a pretty clear cut three in almost every scenario here for me. So, yeah, I'll agree with Emery, three teams.
Tom?
Yeah, I went with four only because I don't think the middle to bottom section of the Big Ten is as strong as the SEC. So I think some of those teams can rack up wins and put themselves in position for the playoffs. So I'll lean four.
All right, gentlemen, we got to move on from the Big Ten to the ACC. That's what's coming up next, folks, on the Early Edge. ACC win totals. And which of these ACC teams are a national championship contender? That's next on the Early Edge. We're back on the Early Edge, and we move to ACC win totals with Tom, Mike, and Emery. Gentlemen, let's just go ahead and take a look over at BetMGM on the ACC win totals, showing the national championship win totals right now. But we do see Miami there at 11-1, and Miami certainly is going to be the favorite to win the ACC and going to have the highest win total at 10.5, as we see at BetMGM. SMU follows up with an 8.5, Louisville 8.5, and then a drop off to Clemson and UVA at 7.5, along with Pitt. Before we get to win totals, I would like to talk about the U. And Tom, I'm going to start with you. Is Miami a national championship contender again?
Oh, 100%. You know, when Mike and I were talking about Oregon late last year, so when the odds came out, Oregon opened plus 900 to win it all. I grabbed them, thought they were the best value on the board. But since the Ducks have come down a little bit, right now to me, Miami 11-1, that's the best value if you're looking to make a bet right now. I mean, the ACC is Miami and everybody else. They're going to make the college football playoff. They have a ton of talent on both sides of the ball. I love the Canes at 11-1 right now to make a championship run.
Mike, your thoughts on that? Do you like them at 11-1? And how far do you think they can go back to the championship game?
Yeah, look, I love them at 11-1. When you look at the landscape of college football in general, just because their path to simply being in the college football playoff is so strong. So that's something you have to consider in general when you're looking at a future like that. I love both sides of the ball. I love the conference, though, frankly. Like, it's a clear-cut path. You would have to have some extremely devastating injuries, in my opinion, to not have them make this college football playoff here. I think it's Miami by a wide margin. Do still love them at 11-1.
Emery, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a clean sweep, guys. 11-1, that's tremendous odds. One, because they have a lot of talent coming back, even though they lost a lot of talent in that Ohio State realm with that in that regard. But I feel like they have the best quarterback prospect in the 2027 NFL draft in Darian Mintz. This dude did it at Tulane. He did it just last year in this conference at Duke, no less. ACC championship Duke Blue Devils, and I think he's going to do it at Miami as well. This is a clear-cut win. The only game that is a coin flip, and I still lean Miami, is Notre Dame. Everything else on their schedule screams go Canes.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that Notre Dame game is going to be great. No, by the way, we've talked about it on this show before. I absolutely love Darian Mensah, taking a look at him for the Heisman as well. Let's go to favorite ACC win total overs. Emery, I'm going to start with you. You like a team down the board here, Cal at 6.5 wins.
This year's version of Georgia Tech for me, America's team, will be the California Golden Bears. And Jerron Kiwi Sagapulatelli, tremendous quarterback. If I had to pick a quarterback that was the second best quarterback in this conference, it would be him. And they've added so much talent around him. I think they played a lot of fun football last year. Well, while he was a true freshman, man, now he has that game experience and they have that confidence in him. I think Cal is a sneaky pick to get to the college football postseason as well, too. So I like them to go over 6.5. This is great value and this is an extremely low number for the Golden Bears.
Emery flexing, borderline showing off with that pronunciation. Tom, we move up 2 wins from 6.5 to 8.5. Who are we taking?
Yeah, well, I can't pronounce it, so I'm going to go with SMU over 8.5 wins. You know, I come on here every year and I say SMU was doing NIL before it was legal, right? They made a documentary about it. But what that means is that SMU has a ton of money to spend. I don't think people realize how much money those boosters have. And I like the way they're attacking the NIL era. They're going after positions of need. And they kind of did what Texas Tech did last year. They spent their money on the defensive line. If those transfers hit, I think SMU is going to be by far the second best team in the ACC. You know, they play at Louisville. They play at Notre Dame. Those are two really tough games. The rest of the schedule is very favorable. No Miami, the second best quarterback, maybe behind Mensah in the ACC with Kevin Jennings. I like this SMU team to get to 9 wins and face the Canes in the ACC title game.
I'm sold on this SMU play. And Mike, I'm sold on what all of you had to say on Miami at 11-1. You like Miami to get to 11 wins. You like their win total.
Yeah, look, I mean, Emery and Tom kind of both mentioned it. Emery talked about the game that you care about if you're Miami is Notre Dame. And I think they're better than Notre Dame and going to win that game head to head. But they can drop that game. And I ultimately think they run the table here. And as Tom just mentioned, I love the SMU pick. They absolutely have the funds to really go compete. And I like the way they're going about it. Miami does not have to play them this year. That is a huge, huge boost. I love the way the schedule sets up. I love that the last 3 games of the season are at home as well. That is pretty significant here. I think this Miami team is in an excellent position to get back to where they were last year. And I think it starts by going over 10.5 wins.
You know what team is not in an excellent position? It's Florida State, Tom. We're going to move to win total unders. That's where you're starting things off.
I'm just not buying what the Seminoles are selling. This reminds me of Florida last year where they held on to a coach a year too long. They're trying another reset with 50 new players. They bring in Ashton Daniels at quarterback. I mean, he's a fine player, but feel like they've missed out on some of those bigger quarterbacks in the transfer portal. And how about this schedule in their first 7 games at Alabama, at Louisville, at Miami, and they host SMU in Virginia. I think Mike Norvell could be fired by Halloween. I just don't see them getting the 6 wins. I think they need to reset this program.
All right. Scary proposition for Mike Norvell on Halloween. Mike McClure, favorite win total under.
Give me North Carolina under. Look, I don't have anything good to say about the program here. The little NFL experiment going on at the college football level, I think it's about over. I just don't have much good to say. The schedule is absolutely brutal as well. There's a stretch to start where they play Clemson and Notre Dame back to back, and that's going to be kind of all she wrote, I think. They do play Miami. They do play Pittsburgh. I should say 3 in a row. It's Clemson, Notre Dame, and Pitt, all 3 in a row. I just think that this team is going under here. So I think they may win 2 or 3 games all season. I think it will be a disaster. I will go under on North Carolina.
Emery, Virginia's been a pretty good story over the last 2 years, but you're not buying into that story continuing to be great.
No, I was high on them last year coming into the season. This year, not so much, mainly because you lose Jamari Taylor, who is now playing in the NFL, and you also lose your starting quarterback. You replace him, though, with Bo Perbula, who I feel like is a solid player, but can he stay healthy for the full slate of games? And that question alone has me going under the 7.5 number for the Hoos. I feel like this is a team that is going to be rebuilding before they get back to what we saw from them last year.
All right, gentlemen, let's close things up on the ACC by asking who from the ACC is actually going to make the college football playoff. And Mike, I feel like this is just kind of a layup here, but is it one and done with the U?
Yeah, it's one and done with the U. You know, as Tom mentioned, SMU could surprise some people, but I don't think it's this year. It's Miami here, so yeah.
Tom, is it SMU that would surprise if anybody?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's Miami, but if SMU were to lose two close games at Notre Dame and in the championship game to Miami, they would be in the conversation. That's the only other team here, I think, that has a chance, but it's Miami.
All right, I mean, round us out. Is it Miami and that's it, or are we looking at any other teams?
3 years ago on Inside College Football, I made the joke about the college realignment and what game I was most excited to see. I called it the Bag Bowl. Who has more money? Talk about Dallas money or Miami Vice money. And lo and behold, I wasn't wrong. I was just early once again. So I look at Miami and SMU, but I just see this being Miami's year. Once again, clean sweep. SMU is the second best team in the conference. They'll play in the ACC title game, but they won't beat Miami.
All right, good stuff. Covering the ACC with Tom, Mike, and Emery. But gentlemen, sit tight because we got to cover the Big 12. But before we do that, I want to let everybody know, remind everybody, go to Sportsline if you're not already a member. Sportsline.com/join is how you join up. Once you're there, make sure you join the Discord. That's at discord.gg/sportsline. Ladies and gentlemen, we didn't forget about the Big 12. We got a lot to talk about. Texas Tech, BYU, favorite win total, overs, unders. We cover it all next on The Early Edge. It's time to talk Big 12 with Tom, Emery, and Mike. And gentlemen, before we get to our favorite win totals over and under, let's talk about who is leading the pack over at BetMGM. These are the shortest odds to win the Big 12. Texas Tech plus 100. And then a pretty big and maybe surprising drop to all of you. We'll get to that in a second. BYU plus 550, Utah plus 650, another big drop to Kansas State, Houston, and then a bigger drop over to Arizona and Arizona State. Gentlemen, let's go ahead and talk about Texas Tech. Even money to win the conference. Tom, what do you think of these odds?
Yeah, I think they're a little bit overvalued here. I mean, they should be the favorites, no doubt about it. But listen, the team I really like this year, and I'll talk about them more here in a minute, is I love BYU so much, I might have to switch religions. I just think that's the team in the Big 12 to me that is the most complete team. Now, listen, Texas Tech has the most talent, but you look at the quarterback situation, and I do think they take a step back this year. BYU takes a step up. It's going to be between those two teams. Maybe Arizona sneaks in, but I really like BYU to win the Big 12 this year.
Mike, I'm guessing you think Texas Tech is the rightful favorite. What do you think of these odds at even money?
Yeah, like Tom, rightful favorite. I think the conference, like it has been a lot of the time, I think there's extreme variance in the Big 12, the way they play. I think there are a number of teams that can compete and win this conference. They are the rightful favorite. I certainly would not play them at the number being offered right now in the market, but certainly the favorite and the strongest team. And yeah, we'll see how it plays out, but would not bet them at the current number.
Emery, we saw how the quarterback controversy played out. Obviously, Brandon Sorsby not going to be the quarterback at Texas Tech. Does that leave you thinking, hey, the door is wide open in the Big 12?
Not necessarily, because I felt like it was going to be closing anyway on Texas Tech. And last year, we joked about oil money and Texas Tech, man, that Mormon money started to pour in. They just had, the number one draft pick in the NBA? Like, they about to get serious about football, too. And BYU went 12-2 last year. Their two losses, guys, to Texas Tech. So I feel like they'll overcome that bugaboo. Texas Tech, good team, very good team, could be in play once again for a college football postseason appearance, but I don't think they win a conference.
AJ DeBonta, your newest Washington Wizard. Watch out for that team. Not this year. Let's wait for the Sixers and Knicks to win the next couple of years, maybe. And then the Wizards are going to be something. Let's go to favorite Big 12 win total over. Mike, we've sung the praises a bit of BYU. How about you continue on that theme?
I'm actually going to be on Kansas State over 8.5 here. This is just fascinating. You know, earlier Emory talked about not being wrong, just being a little early. Perhaps we were a little early on Avery Johnson, maybe. How about the schedule, though? Just absolutely incredible. When you look at the schedule, you look at the conference and those odds. Kansas State does not play BYU this year. They do not play Texas Tech, and they do not play Utah. Just absolutely unreal to not have to play those top teams. If you look at the odds there, then there's Kansas State and Arizona. They catch Arizona at home in Manhattan late in the year. I just cannot believe the schedule that they were gifted with. I like Colin Klein coming in, obviously played for the program, was a phenomenal quarterback at the college level, which is what I think you need here with Avery Johnson. I think we're all a little sleeping on Kansas State. We've had high expectations of them over the last 2 to 3 seasons. I think it finally comes true here thanks to a very, very light schedule in the Big 12.
Emory, it's you and Tom that like BYU's win total over 8.5. Emory, I'll let you speak first.
Yeah, I don't understand why it's this low. I think they're a lock to get double-digit wins in the regular season, so going over the number is easy for me. And a lot of it is due to the return and productivity they have on both sides of the ball. Bachmeier back at quarterback, is now he's what, a sophomore? And you look at LJ Martin in the backfield. They got a lot going for them, and I feel like they feel like the time is now to strike while the iron's hot. I'd just like them to crush this number easily.
Tom, anything to add?
Yeah, this is my favorite win total on the entire board. And the thing I like about BYU is we all get enamored with all the money everybody's spending. They're attacking the NIL era similar to like what Ohio State is doing. They're keeping their main guys, then taking the money and spending it on 2 or 3 players that can come in and make an immediate impact. I just think they're handling this new system very well. A favorable Big 12 schedule with 5 home games. Now, they do host Notre Dame, but even if they lose that, I think they get to 9 wins easy.
All right, let's go to favorite win total unders. And Tom, I'll go right back to you. Talk to me about Baylor.
Hey, listen, I'm a nice guy. I don't want to see coaches being fired. It doesn't give me any great joy. But I just feel like Dave Aranda is a dead man walking here. They're bringing in a bunch of people. You know, they bring in Lagway at quarterback, who's been inconsistent. I mean, big name, huge recruit, 23 interceptions in 2 seasons. I don't know if that's a big upgrade over Sawyer Robertson, who they've had the last couple of years. They face Auburn out of conference. They got 5 Big 12 road games, including at Arizona State, BYU, Houston. I think it's going to be really tough for Aranda to keep his job and get to 7 wins.
Emory, when we looked at the win totals, we saw West Virginia at 5.5. You didn't think that number was low enough?
No, I think 5 is the number. What scares me about West Virginia is the last 6 or so games. Like, that's a gauntlet for them. And they could be 5-1 or 5-0 going into the last 6 games and end up with 5-6 as a record. I love Cam Cook, the outstanding tailback that they got transferred in from Jacksonville State. We know Rich Rodriguez coached him down there, and he's a fantastic coach. I start to wonder a little bit, though, have teams, because we've seen this offense a lot when he came out initially at, you know, Tulane and morphed into what it was at West Virginia his first time there. Have teams start to catch up to it now, and because everybody's running it. So I think that kind of weakens him. So I'll go 5.5 under.
Mike, favorite win total under in the Big 12.
Give me Arizona State. Exactly the opposite of Kansas State. Just caught a very difficult schedule overall. Part of that was scheduling Texas A&M the second week of the season on the road. That's going to be tough because they follow that up with a 9 a.m. body clock start against Kansas on the road the following week immediately. And then they have the stretch of the schedule here, guys, where they play Texas Tech, Kansas State, and BYU 3 consecutive weeks, the Texas Tech game and the BYU game, both on the road. Just a lot of changes to this program overall. And I think it's going to be, unfortunately, not a good season for them because they caught the rough end of the stick here in terms of the schedule in this conference. I will go under 6.5.
All right. That's your Big 12 win total. But ladies and gentlemen, we're still not done. We got to go to the group of 6 win total overs and unders. Are we feeling so fly about a G6 sleeper? That's next on The Early Edge. We move to group of 6 win totals on The Early Edge. And Mike, we're going to start with you. Talk to me about UNLV.
I'm optimistic with UNLV here. Going over, I like the conference, the way it sets up for them. Just, it's always interesting when you get quarterbacks in situations like this. They've got Jackson Arnold coming in. We all know, five-star prospect, didn't really work out at Oklahoma or Auburn. I think it could be different, though, here. He's, again, another year older. Difference in terms of speed, though, in the game here. When we're talking about the speed of defensive lines at this level in this conference, I think it is still a noticeable gap. I like what he should be able to do with Dan Mullen here, and I know that there's a couple of tough spots on the schedule. I would have put this number at 8.5, though. I think this is an 8-10 win football team this year, guys. And I think 7.5 is a little friendly considering the talent that they're bringing in and the level of competition here. So give me UNLV over 7.5 wins.
Continuing with the win total overs, Emery, what do you like?
I'm a big Coach Joe Moorhead fan, man. I think he has some of the best plays and designs in college football, and he has slowly increased the win total every year at Akron. That's a very tough place to play and win. And so he's slowly building consistency there. So I think this is the year they finally break through. Jordan Gant, outstanding tailback they have. Look for the Akron Zips to go over 5 wins. So 5 win plus is the play here for Akron.
Yeah, we're looking for midweek covers from Akron as we get into the heart of the college football season. Tom, what's your favorite win total over in the group of 6?
I like Fresno State over 6.5. I think they're a contender in the Pac-12. They have arguably the top offense and defensive lines in that conference. Need more out of the quarterback position. They bring in Maryland transfer Christian Martin, so he's kind of the X factor. But I don't think Matt Entz got enough credit for what he did last season. Comes in, brand new team, wins 9 games, came in from North Dakota State. Listen, some guys are just winners. He's a winner. I think Fresno State easily goes over 6.5 wins.
All right, let's go to group of 6 win total unders, and we're going to go rapid fire here. Fortunately for me, because Emery, I need you to go rapid fire. I don't want to hear a ton about JMU's win total under.
I am also a Billy Napier guy, so he's going to get you guys going in the right direction, but everybody keeps leaving, so I have you guys going under 8.5 wins here. Just not enough firepower to compete with those guys down in Lafayette, Louisiana.
Tom, let's stay in that state. Talk to me about Old Dominion.
Yeah, I'm going to go under 7.5 coming off a 10-3 season, but they lose their entire offense. Quarterback Colton Joseph to Wisconsin. Top 7 offensive linemen gone. 5 of the final 8 games on the road. 7 wins feels like the ceiling here. Give me under.
Mike, win total under.
How about UTEP? It's a low number. It's going to be ugly, though, guys. In the Mountain West, the conference is a step up. The non-conference schedule, Oklahoma's on there. Michigan's on there. They just lost so much here. When you talk about 15 players that played 200 plus snaps last year, all of them gone from the program. I'll go under on UTEP.
All right. 10 seconds or less on a G6 sleeper we should know about. Tom.
Watch out for Army this year. Quarterback Cale Helms comes back with 8 returning starters on offense. Easy schedule. They could surprise.
All right. Emery Hunt.
San Diego State won't lose a game, guys. The Aztecs off a rail. That's your G6 representative to the postseason.
Oh, Mike, he took your answer. I didn't realize you were on it, but you said you're okay following Emery here. You also like San Diego State.
Yeah, copying off Emery on this one. They're not going to go undefeated, like he says, but they're going to have a fantastic season. I like San Diego State.
All right. Mike, Tom, and Emery, great stuff. Can't wait to hear more from you as we get closer and closer to college football and NFL season. Always good stuff. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, you can catch these guys sometimes on the Early Edge. That's a morning show that we do at 10 o'clock on the Sportsline YouTube channel. It's every Monday through Friday, and we set you up for the slate in terms of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We got your best bets for each and every day. Have a great Monday, everyone. We'll see you next time on the Early Edge.